Hi, everyone. Welcome to Under My Host. I'm Corey. Producers Tyler and Porter are with me today. Our guests are Wicked Weed in Asheville, North Carolina. You guys are the first brewer that we've had back as a guest. I have had Angel's Envy, we've done two shows with, but we have tons of guest hosts returning. But you guys are the first brewers coming back. So it's Luke and Walt Dickinson. And our guest host today is Sam Cruz of Against the Grain. Like, I have to introduce Sam anymore. He's just like one of us. Welcome, everybody.
Hello.
Yeah, thanks for having us.
Hello.
Yeah, thank you.
You guys have just returned. No, I know you were at the World's Beer. What is the World Beer Cup? I can't even remember. Yeah, World Beer Cup. But did you guys attend the Brewers Conference too?
Absolutely. Yeah. We were there Tuesday through Saturday, and we're both.
Yeah, and you guys just got a bronze, and you're in the the red ale category? Yeah, double red ale. So congratulations.
Yeah, for our double red.
Congratulations. Nice.
Awesome.
Yeah.
Awesome.
Thank you.
Oh, cool.
Yeah.
Yeah, congrats.
Okay, so you guys, when I had you on the show, you were only 4 months old. You were brand new. And it was really, really cool to talk to you because you were just about to, you were a brew pub. I guess you were brewing a lot of beer. But since you've been on, you guys have started up your bottling line has just started. You've got, I think, 4 or 5 bottles that you've released, and I don't know, you'll have to tell us how you're releasing them, if you're staggering them, if it's something that, because they're all sours, right? Everything that you're bottling is a sour right now?
Yeah, so I think when we talked to you last, we had just started our barrel program,
yes.
Which now is really grown, and we have about 434 or so full barrels right now, and we just got about another 200 empties, and we've actually just picked up a new barrel site downtown because we kind of filled up our old one, which is off-site, to we got it now, a 9,000 square foot space downtown. So we're going to continue growing that, but that's what's really feeding our bottling right now. So everything that we're releasing is either, our 100% Brett beers or barrel age, or we're actually going to be doing some kind of Brett finish saison, some farmhouse beers too.
Will you guys release some of your run of the mill saisons, or right now, or is that what you're just, are you going to target to do some? I guess, I like sours, and we've had, we've done sour shows before, but they're not for everybody. So like for people who are not sour fans that want to try Wicked Weed, will they be able to get something in a bottle anytime soon?
Not real soon. If you're in North Carolina, I think you're going to be able to get, our Freak of Nature Double IPA, our Tyrant Double Red, which is one of the metal. Those are going to be on draft in a lot of bars across the state. We've really upped production in the last months here. We're self-distributing, so we've now got some delivery trucks, and we're running, basically the major metropolitan. So our beer is kind of all over Charlotte and Raleigh at your, craft beer bars and bottle shops. But I would also like to point out that I do think there's a sour beer for everybody. And our goal is to help them find that.
Yeah.
And I think, Brett is a really great way to do that. Or Brett finish saison. Really, most traditional Belgian saison or French saison that you get in the States honestly had probably a small amount of Brettanomyces in it anyway. So I think they are very gentle beers that people can be introduced to. And even our sours, we try to maintain a fairly low acidity relative to some of the intense sours out there, and try to keep them so they're kind of drinkable and palatable and engaging, especially for folks who are coming from like a wine drinking background or something.
Yeah. I mean, you're preaching in the choir. I'm fine. I'm happy to drink a sour. Okay. So I want to talk about, talk about this facility where you're doing, where you've got the barrels, and you're going to have a tap room there too, right? For the sours.
Yeah. So we call it our Funkatorium. it's our auditorium of funk, where we make all of our sour beers. So the way we function is we brew them on site. We have a separate building connected to our brewery that we do our 100% Brett fermentation and all of our blending with fruits and sour stock to inoculate the barrels. And then when they're filled, we take them off to an aging site. So we've been driving in a crappy, tacked up U-Haul pull the barrels out to our barrel site 20 minutes outside of town, multiple times a week, which obviously eats up a lot of time.
Yeah.
And also it's only 2,000 square feet, so we're out of room. So now we've got this new space that's three blocks from the brewery, that will house, about 2,000 barrels, and then we'll have some small offices there. And the best part is we'll have a tasting room and a place where people can literally just walk three blocks from our brewery into kind of the heart of the South Slope Brewing District of downtown Asheville, mm-hmm. and see what our barrel program looks like, and, you know, kind of touch and see the barrels and really dig into to sour beer. I mean, we'll probably have some non-sour beers on also, but, the focus will be, you know, developing a seller list where people come in and buy multiple year old bottles of our beers and just kind of do some fun stuff like that where they can really dive into what sour beer is and how we make it.
Well, I definitely, so when you were on the last time, we talked about the way that you were doing your sours. You do open fermentation, but not spontaneous. Have you changed that for what you'll be doing over at the other facility, or are you still, you have, because you've got like this elaborate, you've got like a HEPA filter system or something that keeps it, or you did, right?
Yeah.
Right. So,
yes. So we do two kinds of open fermentation, right? So there's our Saison and all of our Belgian beers. And, you know, Luke and I feel pretty strongly that at least where we're at, we like the ester profile we get when we ferment, and esters being like the flavors produced by the yeast.
Mm-hmm.
From the Belgian yeast, that we like it better in an open fermenter because it's just a healthier, more oxygen interactive environment for the yeast. So those beers are done in a sterile room inside the brewery. But they're actually done in a separate building that's basically just a big funky sour thing. And so we brew through two open fermenters. We brew in two open fermenters there, but it is all our yeast. So we really just treat them as clean fermenters. They're just not in a HEPA filter room. I mean, if you know how to use open fermenters well, I mean, if you drink beer anywhere in Europe or in England, I mean, traditional breweries are still using open fermenters. Actually, I was just at a lecture, one of the seminars at CBC, and Duval has just spent all this money putting these giant open fermenters in, and they're probably the most, the biggest yeast Nazis I've ever met.
we want to start talking about the sours that you're bottling. Which do you recommend that we start with?
What bottles did you buy?
I bought the Black Angel, which I've had before, which is it's really good. The Royal, the Amorous, and then the Indulgence, both of the from the Royal Cache.
Well, I would start with Indulgence. So if you guys are, I guess I don't know how many of you are drinking it, but that beer is part of our 100%. Like I said, we do sour beer, and then we do these Brett beers, and Indulgence is 100%. Brett beer that we do, that the idea was we kind of took the take on a Golden Strong, a traditional Belgian Golden Strong, but we decided to brew that with our house Brett strain. And then once we brewed with that, we let it finish fermentation and then added about 250 pounds of local muscadine grapes. Let it sit on that for a month and steel, and then move that whole concoction into barrels where it aged for 6 months. So it's just going to have a lot of great flavor, kind of similar to a muscat wine.
Yeah.
And it'll be a lot of sweetness, but it's actually a very dry beer.
It actually smells more like a sour than it tastes.
Yes, absolutely.
It's really subtle. Yeah. Trust us,
oh, that's
Sam.
Good.
Did you get a chance to try any of the guy's sours when you were at Wicked Weed?
They didn't. I don't think they had them out yet. Mm. I tried a bunch of Saisons, though.
Yeah.
They had on like 30 or 40 Saisons. So yeah, it was really good. Yeah.
Oh, cool. Yeah, you have to come during Asheville Beer Week or something. We do a, because we do a lot of Saison, we do a day where we save every Saison we do, we save a keg of it, and then we do a big Saison keg where we'll have like 25 different Saison at the brewery during
I was there for All About Beer Festival or something, so it was during Beer Week. It was awesome.
Well, it seems cool, like Asheville does more beer festivals than anybody else, and the guys are involved in every single one of them. They do like more fundraisers and more festivals, I think, than any brewery I've ever. I'll like get like a press release. I mean, I think it's fantastic. They're very much part
awesome.
Of the brewing community there. Right. But well, just like, let's talk a little bit about what you guys
well, speak, Speaking of beer festival, I just want to mention we're putting on a beer festival we just announced called Funk Asheville Beer Week.
Yeah, I was going to bring up the...
Okay, cool.
Why don't you talk about Asheville Beer Week and then talk about... Because this is going to happen. The Funk Asheville is May 30th. But the week of Asheville Beer the dates from Asheville Beer Week are May 23rd through the 31st. So do you want to just tell listeners, because this will come out well before that happens. So if you want to tell people what happens Asheville Beer Week and so they come visit you guys.
Yeah, absolutely. Asheville Beer Week has turned into one of the, I don't know, I think it's going to be a really cool beer week one day. Well, I mean, eventually, I think it's going to be, you think of like the epic beer weeks, right? San Francisco Beer Week and Portland Beer Week. And they're really great events, but, you have to start somewhere. And we've just been growing leaps and bounds every year, especially with the introduction of Sierra Nevada and New Belgium. Mm-hmm. So,
And this is just the third year. This will be the third annual.
The third year.
Yeah.
But it's going to be dope. So, basically it kicks off, like every beer week, it kicks off the Friday before. Every day there's multiple events, and then it's kind of capped by the major festival of the week, which is the Beer City Festival. So, after being out, we pour beer at the What the Funk that Crooked State puts on at both the, they did it in Denver during the GABF BBC. We were kind of inspired to say, well, let's get, kind of a Southeastern version of that festival where we gather a bunch of people making wild and barrel aged sour beers and, try and put something cool together. And I think it's kind of a compliment to that, to the festival the next day. So we're holding our event, which is going to be Funk Asheville, on Friday, and then, there's the Beer City, on Saturday. But we're also doing, we do our five brewery collaborative beer dinner on Wednesday. We do the Saison Takeover on Thursday. We do our triple IPA release the Friday before. So we try to have a lot of stuff going on at our brewery, and I think everybody else in town kind of does the same. So if you come as a beer consumer, it's just almost an overwhelming craft beer experience.
Almost overwhelming. So then tell everybody about your funk. Your funk, your funk smack dab in the middle of the week.
It'll be on Friday. I might have some of the details not completely right.
It's the 30th. They can look at the,
But it's the 30th. Yeah, it's like 6 to 10. I think it's like VIP from 6 to 7, which is 100 tickets to that, and there's 400 tickets for main entry, which is 7 to 10. And, we're hoping to have somewhere between 20 and 30 breweries. The invite's out, but I'm trying to invite a lot of the young brewers who are doing these sour programs across the country. And I don't want to, throw any names out there specifically, but I think we're going to have some really cool folks from, the Colorado area or the West Coast coming out to pour some pretty exclusive beers that you won't see anywhere else in the country. And then obviously New Belgium, Stone's going to come out and kind of release a little bit from their new Funk House program that they've just started, kind of let you guys see what they're doing over there. Steve Gonzalez is probably one of the smartest wood and barrel aging guys out there, and he's working with Mitch to develop a sour beer program, so it'll be pretty cool to see what that's going to look like.
Very cool. Sam, did you have any questions for the guys?
Have at it.
But I don't. It's not relevant to the discussion right now.
It doesn't matter. Since when does that ever matter?
Okay. Why Wicked Weed? Why do they call it Wicked Weed?
Well, my friend, I've never answered this question before. Just so you know. So Wicked Weed pertains to. So we were trying to go with a name for the brewery. We couldn't really find one we liked. And I just was kind of at a point where, we talked about it. We weren't really in a place where we loved anything. So I just went and did a bunch of beer history research. And, even though we've always been talking about a sour beer, our most popular beers probably are our IPAs, our double IPA of Freakin' Nature. And we do a ton of other hoppy beers. And that's kind of where Luke's in my heart is deeply grounded in hoppy American styles. So we started looking at those great stories of, the first IPAs at Burton-on-Trent and Bow Brewing, and it kind of led me to the story of King Henry VIII proclaimed that hop pernicious weed as they were coming over from Belgium and Germany into England, because before then they were just using herbs to balance the bitterness in their ales. So he proclaimed that they were a wicked and pernicious weed and were not to be used in any ale. So we felt like it was too good of a story and too good of an alliteration. And, you know, in case legalized marijuana, we figured it would be good for cornering that market also.
I love that they always, like, they've always worked in weed.
Yeah.
Last show, there was a lot of weed references. And it's coming.
Well, I mean, it's Asheville, so...
They love us in Colorado. Everybody wanted our wicked weed shirts out there.
I bet. I know, right? Next year, you should have all your swag. You guys can make a killing. Did you visit any places that you really enjoyed that we don't get in this area, this region? Did you get, because I'm sure you guys hit a bunch of breweries and just met a bunch of guys that you want to hopefully collaborate with, which I want to talk about your collaborations after you answer that question.
I'll answer it quickly. We had a little bit of time. I mean, I'm a huge fan of Chad and what he's doing at Crooked Stave, so I got a chance to spend some time there and drink his beer. Luke and I and the guys went over to Prost Brewing, which they won a gold medal last year for their Keller Pils, which was just the first beer I had off the plane, and honestly one of the best German-style filters I've ever had in my life. I think I had like 3 pints of it. It was just amazing. Other than that, we were really buried between conferences and events, and but I did get to try, as far as barrel programs, some amazing stuff. Jay at Rare Barrel in Berkeley, California, won 2 medals in 2 different categories for American Sour and Planter Style Red, and he's just, again, another brilliant young brewer coming out of the brewery, as in the brewery, Patrick Brewer's Brewery in
Orchestra. So, yeah, I'm talking... No, yeah, I'm working on scheduling a show with those guys, but I've heard really
awesome.
Good things. Yeah, well, there's 3 guys, I think, but maybe he's the one who does the. It might be like more of like the partners, and then he's doing most of the brewing. But I'm definitely curious because I've been hearing a lot about them. But aren't they contract brewing still at this point? Are they?
I think that's kind of where he came. He's got a really cool model going, very similar to what Chad did at Crooked Stave, where he's
with
contract brewing wort.
Funkworks,
then, where he's contract brewing wort and then taking it, filling his barrels, and then, he actually has fermenters, though. He's just contract brewing wort and then taking it to his fermenters. And I think Chad was kind of doing things, but he's doing a lot of fermentation and fooders and stuff. You know, who's making your wort? I think it's a cool thing. We talked about that some, and that's why if you read on his label, he doesn't call himself a brewery anywhere. You know, he calls himself an artist of barrel product or a sour barrel. You know, so I think it's a really cool way to look at brewing.
Oh, I don't have a problem. I don't have a problem with with people that contract brew.
Oh, yeah.
definitely interested in talking to him. Now, you guys did, you may have others, and I'm just not aware of them. You guys did an Oscar Blues, which doing a collaboration with them is, I guess, not that unusual because now they're located so close to you guys. And you were also part of the Sierra Nevada summer camp, the 12-pack, right?
Oh, awesome.
Yeah, and that would be an awesome one for Luke to step in and talk about because he's really the one. I can tell you about the Oscar Blues one, but I'll turn it over to him for the Beer Camp Across America thing. The Oscar Blues collab was... you know, we're just good friends with those guys. They're just down the road, and we just thought we'd do a spring collaboration. So, obviously, we're going to brew beer together. It should be something absurdly hoppy. and so we made a really big double IPA that came out somewhere around, like, 11%. And we had used, I don't know what the quantity was, about $1,500 worth of passion fruit in the beer.
Wow. Like puree or the actual and fruit?
It was puree.
How many barrels? How many barrels of beer was it?
15 barrel batch of beer.
Oh, wow.
It was a lot of batch of fruit. Yeah. And then hibiscus. And so it was just this really awesome, big, citrus, tropical, fruity bomb with had this nice little tartness in the back from the passion fruit. And it was actually called by Ann Fitton, who does all their social media, and I'm sure she has some like amazing events title that I can't really remember, but she named it Sexy Fruit because she thought all of us were sexy fruits.
Now, Sam, if you could name that beer, what would you name it?
Uh-oh, here we go.
Sam's, it's a challenge.
Yeah, we have to use the word passion. Yes. I got to think about this for a while.
He's going to come up with something good. Now, this is the thing. You guys have to at some point do a beer with him because I can only imagine with Wicked Weed what Sam is going to come up with. Yeah, when you get a chance, I say this to everybody that I do a show with Sam, is go on their website and check out the names of the beers. you guys would probably not do it at your own brewery, but...
So, yeah, if Luke wants to step in and tell you about the... So we're part of the collaboration as Luke is on the board of the ABA, the Asheville Brewers Alliance.
Yeah.
And because Sierra Nevada is coming into Asheville, two of the guys from the representatives from the Brewers Alliance, we went and brewed a beer in Chico. And so he's probably the best to tell you about since he was the one who was directly involved with that.
Yeah, I can speak to it a little bit. Basically, Sierra Nevada, as most people know, came to Asheville, and they picked they're picking 12 breweries to celebrate the opening of their new brewery here on the East Coast. So they invited Asheville Brewers Alliance as the final brewery, the 12th brewery, which was really an amazing honor for us, and it was really cool for Sierra Nevada to show that they actually care about the locals, not just coming here to, you know, take over the area. So basically in, I guess it was last November, I went out there and, got to brew a test batch of beer, which was just really awesome to go out there and, see how their facility works. We decided, through lots of, talk and deliberation and that we would do something that really represented Asheville, and the North Carolina ingredients and also kind of fit into the 12 pack. We went with, a sweet potato scotch ale, that was topped up like pale ale. We used some really cool new hops in it. It's got a very American feel to it, even though it's got the scotch, aged recipe to it. A really cool beer. We're going to be brewing the first full-size batch at their brewery actually this week. So it's pretty exciting. There's going to be this awesome caravan across the country. They're going to, I think, 7 different stops starting in Portland and finishing here in Asheville on August 3rd. You guys can check out the Beer Camp website. I think there's a link on there on Sierra Nevada's website. But it's pretty awesome. It's been a cool experience for me, and you know, I got to be in this room, this round table room, when we were discussing the project with all of my brewing idols. Absolutely unbelievable.
Yeah,
I was in that room with, you know, Vinny from Russian River, Rob Todd from Allagash, Matt Frendelson from Firestone, John Mallett from Bell's, and the list just goes on. It's a crazy opportunity.
Yeah, you're in really good company. I mean, there. So when we just did an Allagash show, and he talked about. So it's Allagash, Ballast, of course, you guys, Bell, Cigar City, Firestone, Walker, New Glarus, right? New Glarus, Ninkazi,
New Glarus, yeah,
and Oscar Blues, Russian River, Three Floyds, Victory Brewing.
Good stuff.
Yeah,
yeah, and that's supposed to actually come to Georgia too.
Hopefully. I'm sure it's gonna sell like crazy. Yeah. People are gonna be fighting over that 12 pack.
It's gonna be incredible.
The beers are ridiculous too. Like they did an event at Falling Rock in DC where we got to preview all the test batches. We got a tag of every test batch at Falling Rock, and so each of those brewers stood up and talked about it. And we actually, Vinny and Natalie from Russian River are in Aspen right now. They're going to be brewing their beer from the collaboration at Sierra tomorrow. So the beers are just ridiculous. Like, people are going to be so excited. I'm so excited that people get to try beers like this all across the country.
Yeah, definitely. And we're actually talking to Vinny next week, so we'll have to ask him about the brewing, how that went. I'm excited to talk to him.
That's cool.
What else is going on, guys? Tell us before. Well, actually, what you could do is tell us what we should be drinking next.
Yeah, I think you should drink Amaris next. We're kind of working from Brett beer up to the most sour beer that you have.
Yes.
Kind of way you should go. But Amaris is, these are both from our, you can notice the label is different. It doesn't have the really intricate artwork on it. These are both from our... I mean, the artwork's cool, but it's the same label, it's just a different color.
Oh, with the Royal Cash, that series.
Exactly.
Yeah.
So that's just our Barrel Reserve series, which we wanted to just have a label that we could do interesting things and release kind of one-off batches out of the barrel house that aren't part of our core brands. And so that's what these two are. They're a way for us to keep researching and developing new ideas and concepts for beers and then putting them out and letting people have them if they turn out to be something that we're pretty proud of. So this was basically a sour IPA. So it's a blend of old, about 6 month old Brett barrels and then about a year old sour barrels. Mm-hmm. And then we took those really aggressively with a lot of American hops. So it's a big load of double dry hop of Mosaic and Centennial. And it just really lets those big tropical notes shine through. Luke and I are both pretty big fans of La Terroir, which is a really great dry hop sour that Lauren does over there in New Belgium. And, you know, we just kind of wanted to make a beer in that vein, at least. You know, this is probably maybe a little more sessionable, but yeah, cool beer.
Yeah, and it's funny because this is quite the opposite. This, it's got the aromatics from the hops, and you don't smell the sour, and then you actually taste the sour more. But it's really, it's really pleasant.
It is good.
It's really, it's you just get, you really smell really the hop. Good. Yeah, they're definitely more of the, like you said, those tropical fruit.
It's tricky.
Yeah, this is really, and I love that you guys are really taking, you know, sours or something, like you're saying, that you think there's a sour for everyone. I think you're making sours for everyone. Mm-hmm. I think it's very, very different. I like sours and I will enjoy them. As a matter of fact, I had not had, we did Off Color last week and he did, I can't remember the style, but it was like, it was that, and I'm going to fuck it up. Was it like, is it Goza? Like, oh, there's like that subtle, Goza, right? So that's that salt. It's the saltier one, right? I'd not had that until his show and I really did enjoy it, but I think, not everybody would. It's definitely, I like that weird stuff. I enjoy it a lot, but I think a lot of people, I think what the stuff that you're doing, this, it's so subtle, but it's made so well. I can't imagine people not really, I enjoy it, but I like sours, but I think anybody, it's a good introduction to sours.
Yeah, I agree.
And they're, and I love that you you're making a sour, I mean, an IPA, like, had a saison. I mean, I love that you guys are playing with these super traditional styles, but you're doing it well. It's not like, oh, I'm just going to fuck with something completely traditional and it's an absolute mess. Because it happens all the time. You know, like in theory, there's a lot of stuff that sounds so great, but you taste it and you're like, yeah, it read a lot better on the menu than it did going down. But this is really, really good. Nice, guys.
Cool. Oh, don't worry. But yeah, I like it. I mean, it's a little dangerously drinkable, it's almost a little more Brett than it is sour, and that's what we're shooting for. We may push it to be a little more sour if we do it again. I do think that the hops will play. You know, I think the more aggressive the city does play a little bit nicely with the hops. But again, that's what this whole program is about. It's just kind of pushing ourselves to find these styles and dial them in and figure out where we want to go with them, because it's one thing that we definitely love, and that's sour beer and that's hoppy beer. So I'd love to find a great way to merge the two together and make it part of our profile.
Yeah. Sam, you need to get this. This is the Amaris. You need to get a bottle of this.
Yeah, it's good stuff.
We have a flock of nerds that go to North Carolina every single time that these guys do a release.
And I love it.
I'm flock due for nerds. my allocation from the nerds.
Well, my favorite is he actually, mostly you'd say, well, after Sam calls him a nerd, after Sam calls him a nerd, they're not going to buy him beer. He actually says that quite openly. What, didn't you just have somebody who brewed your beer and you, no, but like, what did you call them? They just did like one of his beers and he was, I guess, kind of insulting them and complimenting them at the same time.
Yeah. I wrote these guys a recipe. They work at my place and they gave me the homebrew, and it was really, really good. I was shocked because I off the cuff shot them this recipe, and I just wanted to get it over with. And they they made an awesome beer. I called them tards. I'm not gonna lie.
Oh, Sam, we can't be proponents of the T word. You gotta have them pick some of this up for you. I mean, but I want to go through.
Absolutely.
Like, we have it. I want to finish this and enjoy it. But I want to talk about, you guys had a couple of different ones. So you had the Genesis Sour Blonde. So I would love for you to talk about that. And the Serenity, which we won't have.
Sorry, we haven't released Genesis Sour Blonde yet. Okay. But yeah, what we released so far, we released four beers. First was 2008. That was the, it was actually our 100% Brett beer. We won a gold medal at GABF for that beer. So, yeah, it was just kind of made sense for that to be the first one that came out of the barrel program. And then after that, Black Angel, and then we moved into these two out of the King's Cash series, the Amaranth and Indulgence. Mm-hmm. But we have a lot of cool stuff coming up that I think people will be excited about. We're actually bottling our Genesis Blonde Sour, which is it's a blonde sour, ends up being about 6.5%, and we ferment that 100% Brett, blended a bunch of sour barrels, and then we add a bunch of tropical fruit, so pineapple, guava, mango, and what's the other one? Pineapple. Like guava, mango, pineapple. And anyways, then that ages in white wine barrels for, you know, it's a blend of probably like 7-8 month old barrels, and then some older barrels, and then a little bit younger barrels. But that's going to be bottled on Friday, and then I think it's released the following Saturday. Mm-hmm. And then we'll also be, and then coming up after that is Oblivion, which is our big sour red we do, which is, and I don't think we have a firm release date, but it'll probably within 2-3 weeks after Genesis. And that's, you know, 8.5% sour red, kind of the Flanders red style with blackberries and beans. Nice. And it's probably one of our more popular beers for sure.
What are you, and I struggle more with this as far as like pairing food with sours. And you guys have a chef that, you guys have a great chef, or,
yeah,
you know,
do.
They have a great brew pub. What are you guys recommending to people? And I guess these were, they weren't vastly different, but the two beers that we've just had, I would eat different things with them, I think. But like, what are you guys recommending for people to eat with, when they're drinking your sours?
Well, I think it just depends on how aggressive the beer is. I mean, if you're going to be drinking Black Angel next, which is our black cherry sour, that beer has a lot. It, you know, we try to keep it balanced again. It's probably not the most sour of the sour beers. I mean, you say I like sour beers, you're really going to like Genesis. I mean, they're more along that line of your, you know, traditional aggressive blonde sour or red sour. You know, it's always about balance, but they're definitely more acidic than the beers you guys have had.
Yes.
That said, I think the Brett beers, you know, we just did this really cool, weird science, like molecular gastronomy dinner, because our chef's really into that. He's actually trained under a chef in Miami who does a lot of that stuff.
Nice.
And, the Brett beers pair exceptionally well because they're dry. They're extremely dry, so, you know, they're refreshing to the palate, but at the same time, they have a lot of layers of complexity. And I think you can look at sour beers a lot like wines. You know, I think depending on the food, you know, I can see Oblivion pairing really well with, you know, a nice pork or steak dish, whereas Genesis, I think, would probably be better with something lighter like fish or chicken. And, you know, I think it really just depends on how you want to play with it and how aggressive you want your pairing to be. I mean, a lot of times I look at the dish that he's prepared and try and find a beer that's going to complement it without overwhelming it.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that's what our beer is, just like an IPA or something big, right? You want to find something that'll complement a dish. It's got to be a pretty bold dish, even if it's a you know, a fish or a steak or something, a lot of, like, pretty good flavor to stand up to the complexity and the acidity of like a real sour beer, whereas something that maybe doesn't have to be so intense will pair nicely with like a Brett beer that has maybe a little softer layering to it.
I think people just have to play with it. The more traditional ones, I find, shut up. I can say anything in this one. It's like a junk joke immediately. No, it's, for me, and I guess I caught shit from Steve when I said, like, there are just certain sours and I love them, but I never think to eat food with them. I just want to enjoy that beer alone.
Right.
But these last two were definitely things I could eat. I could drink with dinner for sure. Oh yeah, absolutely.
I'm wondering, like, all of the wild beers that you're producing, it sounds awesome. We just got going in that this year and are really, really moving into it pretty well. We don't have near the capacity, I think, that you have to do this, but the information that you have to do this, are you guys, do you have past experience producing these beers, or are you just kind of learning as you go?
Yeah, I mean, a lot of it, I think what you can do is, yeah, we're learning as we go in a lot of ways, but we have a lot of really great folks around us and good mentors. I mean, Luke and I spent a lot of time, you know, drinking these beers and learning about how they're made, you know, reading it, and basically scavenging as much information as possible. And you're saying you're going to be interviewing those guys for Rare Barrel. Actually, Jay and I were talking about this, that, you know, there's not any really good place to go learn this or absorb the information out there. You know, there's not a lot of books written on it, and all we have are you know, a handful of podcasts for guys like you, you know, with people like Vinny and Lauren and Chad and whoever, and Sean and Cantillon. You know, there's some little information out there we can glean from those guys, and then just reading and reading and reading. And then past that, it's just lots of experimenting. You know, we did tons and tons of small batching with bacteria and wild yeast to kind of understand how they reacted. And then a lot of it, you know, you can never emulate a wood cellar without having a wood cellar. And so once you have your barrels, you know, and then when you have them, you really need a lot of them because, again, it's all about blending. And that's the thing I think we've learned the most, is that, you know, there's obviously those challenges you're going to overcome as you are learning to blend beers and brew beers. But eventually, it's about having a lot of them that gives you that variability to pick the barrels that taste best and eventually, you know, make beers that you're pretty proud of.
Have you had to scrap a lot of beer, like in the process of learning how to play with the different yeast and bacterias?
Oh, yeah. I mean, definitely in the early, like early on, when we were home, you know, these are all homebrewed right. Buckets and crock boys. And yeah, I mean, there was many a dump batch of like gross vinegar, stinky, poopy beer.
Poopy beer.
Yeah, wow. Nobody likes ice there. So, so once we got through that, we've been really lucky in that we haven't dumped a ton of beer. We've definitely dumped beer. And I think to do a wood program, you have to know that you're going to have somewhere from, you know, maybe 5 to 30% loss on your barrels. We've been lucky, and I think we're probably more in that 10% loss. And a lot of it was really just early on, more so in our selective process of developing our house sour, which, you know, that was really us brewing a lot of sour beer and then kind of picking through those mixed culture fermented barrels and picking the ones we found had the most favorable attributes and then blending those forward to kind of create our house terroir or whatever you'd like to call it.
Your house funk.
The house funk. The Funkatorium funk.
Now, is there anybody that you guys haven't had? Were there any collaborations that I didn't mention that you guys have done? And are there any people that you would really, really like to see yourself collaborating with in the future?
Oh my God, so many great brewers out there we'd love to brew with. You know, we did brew with New Belgium, which is pretty cool. Mm-hmm. We brew with them out in Fort Collins and did, it was a Brett IPA, basically. It was a mixed sack Brett fermentation with, it was a really cool idea Luke had of doing this ancestry thing. So we basically brewed with like an ancient grain and a modern grain and like orange and hop, so warrior and then this new hop. Can't remember that, 436, I think. Something like that. Anyways, one of the new experimentals is the derivative of warrior and then same thing, you know, Brett and then a wild yeast and a clean yeast. So that was a really cool beer. But outside of that, I mean, there's literally no end to the list of breweries that Luke and I hope we get to brew beer with, because it's just been an awesome experience every time. We brewed a beer with Foothills last year, Batch 69. TL's an awesome brewer there. And every time you get to brew with any of these guys, you glean a lot of process information off of them. It's cool seeing how, especially guys that you like their beer, seeing how they make beer. And I think it's one of those cool things about our industry is that, you know, collaborating makes everybody better. It expands their brand, gets them into new markets, and lets people kind of see what they're doing. So I hope going forward we're able to do a lot. We definitely have some cool stuff on the calendar. I don't know. I think I'd be in trouble if I talked about it right now. But
it's okay. No, I mean,
some fun stuff. I'll see you next year.
It's really why I like to have people on the show from different areas, whether they're brewers from different parts of the country or, I mean, even having some distillers on, because it really does. I mean, it never hurts small production to, you know, to kind of get pulled into areas where people don't really know you. I got to say, Sam is always awesome about sharing stuff on social media when he comes on the show. So it's great when their followers, if they don't know about Wicked Weed, you know, then he will end up introducing, you know, the people that are fans of their beers to your beers. So it always, I think it's, you know, collaborations and just kind of, you know, just playing with everybody. It's always good for you guys. I want to talk about the Moogfest beer that you did, the chocolate IPA.
Oh, cool.
Nice.
Bob.
That was great.
Uncle Bob.
Are we talking about Batch 69? Wait, I'm sorry. I think I lost you for a second.
The Moogfest?
Oh, the Moogfest.
The chocolate IPA? I was like,
yeah,
I didn't make that up.
I'm sorry, you didn't make that up. So, the mug here, so Bob Moog is just like
a Mog Moog, okay.
Yeah, yeah. Who Moog Moog. I think it's Moog. I always feel like I get corrected when I say Moog. No, I feel like I should
it's say double
Moog,
O, right? Wouldn't that be Moog?
It is double O, exactly.
Invented the synthesizer.
But anyways, yeah, it's a synthesizer. He's this amazing, brilliant guy who made all these analog synthesizers, and you know, unfortunately he's no longer with us, but his company is alive and well in Asheville and it's doing some really cool stuff. So they are putting on this big electronic music festival to kind of celebrate innovation in music, and they wanted us to create a beer for that. It's, you know, it's downtown Asheville, so they wanted us to do a beer for it that kind of, you know, supported all those ideas of being innovative and felt that, you know, we were a brewery that could hopefully help them do that. So what we did is it was really cool. We toured the shop, and, you know, it's really interesting trying to find inspiration for a beer from analog synthesizers and music. But what we kind of walked away with was this idea of just innovation and trying to push boundaries. You know, Bob Moog was a huge chocolate fan, and so we felt like, well, it would be really cool to do a light-colored IPA that was extremely citrus-forward, and then hit it with a ton of cocoa nibs in secondary, so you had a little bit of that chocolate in the background, but it was still clear to the eyes and light color to the eyes and kind of threw you for a little bit of a loop. And then what we did is we actually had one, because all their synthesizers are cased in wood. And so the mill in Tennessee that, you know, cuts all these custom pieces for all the synthesizers, we had them send us like one synthesizer worth of the oak that they use. And then we added the oak into secondary and let it sit on oak for
just
a while.
Like, this just like staves or?
It was actually like all these little pieces. It's kind of funny. They're like all these little panels that make the synthesizer. So we just took them, and some were like too big. We had to chop them down. Most of them actually were small enough they could fit through the 4-inch board on the top of the tank. Anyways, you know, it had a nice, like, cool tannin, almost enhanced the grapefruit character of the beer. But Luke and I were actually just tasting it today, and it's going to be, I think people are going to really dig it.
It sounds awesome. Really, oh, yeah. Really good. Yeah. Yeah, that sounds really cool.
Wait a minute. I think I've seen a movie about this guy.
Yeah, you have.
Yeah.
He invented the synthesizer.
You know that, dude.
The guy who made all the music awesome.
Yeah, pretty much.
That's great.
The man.
That sounds really, really good. I want to try those beers.
We're on our way.
When we were there, we were walking through and in the repair shop. I don't know why you would know this, but Dr. Dre's studio, I guess, got flooded. And so his synthesizer that he liked so much, even though it was like totally ruined, and I don't think they could actually fix it, but he said it, he's like, I don't care how much this costs, just like fix my synthesizer. So his synthesizer was sitting in there and they were trying to get it to work. So that was kind of cool. For all you chronic fans out there.
A lot of chronic fans right here. no, I mean, it's really crazy when you think these guys have been in business a little bit over a year. They've been like brewing with some of the best brewers in the country. And you guys are doing some very difficult beers extremely well. I mean, it's kind of, you know, you always say like there are some people that were just meant to brew beer.
Right.
These two are definitely in that category. But I mean, is there anything, what we need to do is we need to drink that last beer that we've got, the Black Angel. And I've actually I've had Black Angel before.
That.
It's really, really, really good. What's a face?
I was reading the label. It just sounds amazing.
It is really good.
Cool.
So
the labels are... I just want to give a shout-out to our artist, this guy, Howell Golson. He's just such a cool artist to work with. He's doing a really cool job for all these... We got some new labels coming out that I'm really excited about. So,
are you changing the style of your... Or just for another series of beers?
Oh, no, just for like our other beers. I mean, yeah, every beer is just like... It's kind of this really funny process we've somehow corner ourselves with, where like we brew a beer and then he comes in and we talk about it and then he goes away and just builds like crazy, amazing, basically art pieces that become the label. And then from there, Luke and I and like a couple people who actually know how to write come up with these kind of goofy stories that are on the side that are like the story of the beer is kind of fun. But
we'll have to read these. Oh yeah, they do.
Yeah. Anyways. So yeah, it's Black Angel. That's probably the beer we've had the most practice with. This is our third release of the beer. And definitely, I think Luke's in my best blend of the beer. It's a black cherry sour aged in bourbon. So it's a blend of 12-month 6 month and 4 month barrels, all aged, and actually some of them are in Angel's Envy barrels. I think a good portion of this blend was in Angel's Envy barrels.
Oh, cool.
Which, if you have those guys on again, if they want to sell me some more barrels, I wouldn't oppose that.
Well, I mean, you have his contact information, don't you?
I was like through a random guy getting barrels from him. So yeah, if you have his contact,
I'll barrels send you guys. What did you say, Sam? Sam knows them really well. You know Wes, right? They're like next door to each other. Get in line. Yeah. Well, and you know what I really love, and it's going to take a particular, I guess, well, barrel, but also I don't know how long it will take for them to separate with their the rye. The rye is definitely, but the rye doesn't have a residual sugar to it, but it is definitely, it's got this sweetness to it without being sweet. You know what I mean? Just on the nose.
Is that the one they do in the rum barrel?
Yeah, the rum. They were cognac barrels that were then rum barrels. I love it.
Yeah.
To me, it's dessert. But yeah, I would
awesome.
Love. Have you done anything with those barrels? I don't know if they're giving up those barrels because those are barrels that they can keep using.
The rum barrels. You can't get the rum barrels yet.
Yeah.
But we will. We will get them.
We will.
The rye barrel. The rye whiskey. We get those. Like we just took like 60 of them. They're good too.
Oh, but you. Good, that's before they're finished in the rum barrels. You're getting those.
First. Yeah. They don't. Just rye whiskey.
Right. Yeah, but I would love to see somebody do something with their those finishing barrels. Be really good.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. I was gonna say you guys need to make really good friends. You know, Sam is in Louisville and he's right on on Bourbon Row. He's right.
Sam, my new buddy.
I did you guys ever get in touch with John Little? I did an email and you guys had exchanged, had said during that show, I would set you guys up, and I don't know if anything happened. They're actually gearing up their, do you know John Little? Sam at Smooth Ambler Spirits?
I don't know.
I'm getting some of his barrels.
Okay. Well, cause I did an email with you guys after we did the show and I don't need to stay on those. I just didn't know if anything had happened with that. He's the nicest.
About the rum barrel?
Well, no. I've got you hooked up for your rum barrel series.
Yeah.
We need to contact that. No, but John, was sourcing until his aging program took off, and they're just ready to start releasing their own. They were doing clear spirits until they could start. They were doing clear spirits and they were doing a barrel aged gin. But now they're starting to, I think, they're almost ready to release their own barrel-aged spirits. But super, super nice guy. My favorite redneck. Seriously. Because Sam's not a redneck. Sam's like kind of Midwestern, and he's Sam Cruz.
Yeah.
So, but no, I would love, if you do want me to do an email with you guys, I will. I guess Sam would know. I guess people are chomping at the bit for those. People are chomping at the bit for barrels, period. I've had more people contact me for hookups for barrels, and it's been like piecemeal. A couple from here, a couple from there, a couple from here. I mean, it's gonna get really interesting. People are going to have to get creative with their barrel aging programs because barrels are drying up. I don't know what everybody's going to do with all. I mean, you guys do some stuff where you're just using oak barrels, right? You don't necessarily, I mean, the sours, you don't rely too much on the whiskey aged and other brown spirits.
Well, we do a little bit. I mean, we definitely do like our dark age bourbon style. We did this beer called the Old Fashioned, which is kind of a take on an old fashioned bourbon barrel. Yeah, we do a bunch of stuff in bourbon barrels. I could name like 5 or 6 beers we've done. We just did a beer in gin barrels from Cardinal Gin. But Black Angel is exclusively bourbon, which at the time when we started brewing the beer, I thought was a great idea because bourbon barrels were so easy to get.
Right.
But now, yeah, you're right. I mean, it's crazy. I called my connections at the Cooperages in Kentucky, and basically they were like, well, call me in a year, I might have some barrels for you. And it was before, it was like ordering a pizza, I'd be like, hey, send me 40 barrels, and they'd be on a truck the next day. So now it's like wine barrels are actually pretty easy for me to get because I have some really good connections, which is luckily a lot of what we need. But yeah, bourbon's, it's challenging. It's funny, you said the Smooth Amber, I remember you doing that, but I totally forgot about it, and I actually just ordered, I'm getting like 24 Smooth Amber barrels from a broker in Colorado. So
So, you had the source. You went to a. He was going to send you barrels.
I fucked it up.
Well, you know, we could take that out. You can always contact him directly. Because I did say to him, like, these guys really. And I remember him emailing you. But if you need barrels, I can't. You know, I'm so busy right now with stuff. But if you get into a pinch, just contact me and I could try to.
I can say this. Get in touch with me because I'm very interested in these wine barrels.
Oh, yeah, you guys could do a swap. Oh, okay.
There we go, buddy.
Yeah. In Kentucky, our cup runneth over, but not as wine.
Right.
Yeah, right? I know. Well, that's what they were saying. I mean, they were like, basically, barrels for me, and I think for a lot of breweries, are going to be like hops in the next few years where we'll have to actually contract our barrels. So it's like you go to, just like you have to order your Simcoe the year before and commit to them. You tell these cooperages that, hey, I will take, you know, 500 barrels throughout the year, and that's what you get. So. Lesson learned, obviously. So I'll be getting barrels next year.
Listen, guys, it was so cool to catch up with you. You know, being so new the first time that you were on. I mean, you're still so new. It's only a year later, but you guys have come so far, and I can't wait. You know, and I love that you're so involved in the brewing community in Asheville and doing that. You know, the sour. I guess Sour Fest that you guys are doing.
Funk Asheville. Yeah,
Funk Asheville. I think it's really great that you guys are really just taking control of it and running with it. Thank you for sharing your beers and for taking time out to talk to us.
Yeah, and I will for sure be stopping by next time I'm in Asheville. I ended up just camping out at Wicked Weed.
I had emailed the guys, right? Yeah, he literally did. He's like, I'm back over at Wicked Weed. Yeah,
I went to Mountain Oasis Festival and I was like.
They were super, super busy with festival.
I was like, whatever. You mean I just have to sit here and try all their beers? Yeah. Oh,
shucks. Darn.
Thank you. Well, we appreciate it, man. So I mean, you can catch a beer, but I swear to God, we're there all the time. So.
No problem, guys. We will talk to you soon. Thank you so much. And we'll keep up with you and get you back on here in the next year or so and see what you guys are up to.
Sweet. Well, thank you so much for having us. And,
thanks. Thanks, Luke. If you don't have
you
us
guys
on
for
mute.
Beer sometime.
Yeah, absolutely. Definitely. Sounds good.
You guys have a great night.
Bye, guys.
All right.
Bye.
See ya.
Sam! Sam's here.
Hey.
We can always count on Sam.
I wanted to say, wasn't Drew supposed to be on tonight?
Drew and Gagne was supposed to be on. Well, isn't he heading out to do a collaboration with you?
Drew's in Louisville. Yeah.
Yeah. So he's,
He's at the place making a beer. I think he gets in tonight, so he's probably there drinking.
Well, he was really jacking around. Very, very, yeah. So I know when he called in, the connection wasn't so great. He was only going to be able to stay for a little bit since he needed to get. Mm-hmm. But I'm excited. I'm excited to try some of that.
No kidding.
it's a really, really, really cool beer concept. I mean, really, really cool. I'm excited that he wanted to go the direction that we were interested in as well. And he actually threw it out there. So
and
we were going to be like, oh, great, please not a double IPA or, you know.
Let's do a triple IPA.
That's, you know, I love, we don't get too many people on that are playing, you know, inside the lines. It's everybody is really, mm-hmm. really up for trying something new, which is great. You know, mm-hmm. We have those brewers that, you know, and you know this, as you get bigger, when you do get your canning line up and you guys are expanding, it gets harder to be as, you know, you'll always, I would imagine that ATG will always do some one-offs and some really unusual stuff, but it becomes more difficult when you are printing on that.
It is hard to be adventurous.
Yeah.
When you're doing 60 and 90 barrel batches, it is, you know, it gets a little scary.
Right. But I hope you guys always play. I hope you guys don't lose that playfulness.
That's not going to happen. We can't not be a...
Yeah. Yeah, I would hate to see that happen. Yep. So thank you for showing up, guest host, that I hang out. I'm kidding. We did talk to Drew, and I did tell him to just go ahead and do what he needs to do. And Gagne had some drama go down with the storm and losing part of a roof. So he's tending to that in case it rains this evening. So
wow.
But I love having you on. You always ask the good questions. You know, like, where did Wicked Weed go? No, and they're doing. You got to get down there and try. They're. I do like sours, and I whatever he says.
Yeah, yeah.
I do think he, but they're creating stuff. I think whatever's traditional and on the market for sours is not something that's for everybody.
Right.
I do think what they're doing is they are creating stuff that people are going to want to drink. That I hope.
Well, I think when I was there, I was really impressed at the range that they had. Like it was really, really to me. I heard places like it was 5 months old or something like that, or 3 months or something.
And but I mean, end of the day, they were making amazing. Yeah. So honestly, like straight away, I don't know what prompted me to do a show with them. They were a brew house that I don't know what it was, but like I just like had a feeling about these guys because it was like they weren't bottling anything. Everything was on draft. It was like, can you stick anything in a bottle for me? So yeah, it was kind of like, but they just were doing stuff that I thought was really, really unusual. And I love that they have an affinity for the IPAs, but they were doing saisons and they were doing really unusual things with the saisons, and they had started the barrel aging program. I actually had Black Angel, and I will say this, it was good then. It is way better now. I think that, and of course, like they needed that time. I think that these guys really know how to play with the yeast and the bacteria. It's their thing, clearly.
Yeah.
I would agree. And to do that in North Carolina It doesn't seem like it's a big deal because it's beer country. But
if you know the climate,
it's IPA country,
right?
Is what it is, and they're doing some like they're doing cutting edge shit, considering where they are.
Well, and don't you think that's with you too? You're in like the most conservative place that I can imagine as far as alcohol production goes. It's so freaking traditional there, and I love that these traditional distillers are trusting you with their beer. I would think that, I mean, like I say, you know, I love you, and I know that you're making amazing beer. Anybody who doesn't know you, if they pull up the menu, and I do, I tell people, it's like you gotta have a sense of humor about it because the beers that you guys are making are amazing. It is the only reason you get away with calling the beers what you guys do because you guys know what you're doing. It's like nobody. If you guys were making like mediocre, shitty, or any other type of beer,
shocked up.
You could not get away, but it's like when you're good at what you do, it's like that. It allows you to have that kind of sense of humor. But
it's funny you say that. That's we were at Extreme Beer Fest in Boston, right? The Beer Advocate thing.
Yes.
And that's exactly what the brothers came and said. They were like, "No, yes. Everything you do, everything you say is nonsensical and crazy."
But you're allowed to do it because... Yeah.
Yeah, the beer is amazing, so you can do all the stupid shit in the world you want.
Keep on.
I don't... That's what I said. I was like, you guys know who Rob Dyrdek is. He has the Fantasy Factory. That is my hero.
Yeah, yeah, man. Robin Big. Hell yeah.
That's right.
Well, we need to... like. We need to get you back on and do when you guys do your expansion, when you finish with the, you know, and we don't have to talk about it in the air until you're ready to talk about it, but we'll let me know when you're ready to talk about, and we'll have you guys back on. We'll get Jerry back on. And if your other partner wants to come on, cause really it's only Adam is brewing, right? I don't think there's.
Adam does a lot. Yeah. He's like Grendel. He's up there by himself all the time now.
Grendel. Does he have the hairy feet?
He looks weird.
Is that,
I'll snap a photo of him. I'll make him take his shirt off.
He's got long hair. He's like kind of skinny and he's got like long, right? He's got long hair. It's like,
yeah,
in the middle
it's
of
all his beard's all matted and he looks really rough now.
It's you guys are making him work really, really hard.
It's just him. That's his thing now. He's Grendel.
He's got like the Ross. Does he have like the Rasta beard? Like it doesn't get combed out at all.
Yes, it's matted and crooked and
what
all
is it?
Weird.
It's like he's all Burning Man. Every time I see somebody from Burning Man, it's like, have you guys lost the ability to comb or brush your hair? It's like, and there's nothing worse than like the white Rasta hair or white Rasta beard. It's just gross.
Yep,
it's so gross. But listen, so we'll get
my guy.
That's my man.
Well, we'll get you back on, you know, for an Against the Grain show. I would love, you know, it's
hell yeah.
Yeah, well, definitely. The boys just want you back on because they can drink your beer.
That's right. No.
We have more. Yep, we get stuff. So.
You guys do have some really good stuff. But we'll talk to you next week. You'll be back for the Russian River Show. Thank you, Sam. And if you guys want to follow us on Facebook, on Twitter, on Instagram, under myhost.com.
Stitcher.
Yes, exactly. Wherever else you can find us. Thanks, everybody. Have a great night.
Wicked weed.